Welcome to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz. Dr. Teplitz is an attorney and he has a PhD in holistic health sciences. He is a pioneer in stress management and wellness. He has written 8 books and his 2 latest are Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change, and the #1 Amazon bestseller, Switched on Selling, Balance Your Brain for Sales Success. And now, here's Dr. Jerry Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. My name is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and I'm your host, and you're listening to webtalkradio.net. What this show is about, Healthy Alternatives, is what can you do to reach optimum levels of health and well-being for yourself? Why do you want to even care about that? Well, in Discover Magazine, the November issue, a recent poll had been conducted in California, and 65% of the people thought that nearly most or all of the healthcare decisions that are being made by their doctors are based on scientific evidence. Turns out that less than half of those decisions are actually something that have adequate investigation or have been shown to be effective. And this was reported by the prestigious Institute of Medicine. So we want to look at healthy alternatives as to what you can do for yourself to reach those optimum levels. Today, we're going to be looking at physical therapy, but not the way you normally think about it. When you think about physical therapy, you think you've had an accident, you've had an injury, you've had a hip replacement, and your doc then tells you to go to a physical therapist to do exercises. Well, this is a physical therapist we're going to be talking about that takes a very different approach, and we'll look at how we can integrate physical therapy into your notions of your wellness program. If you want to know more about me and what I do professional speaking. I'm an author. You can click on the globe, or you can go to my website at teplitz.com, and you can also follow me on Twitter and Facebook. This first segment, I want to take a look at the concept of breakthrough ahas in health and wellness. What are those things that are information that you really ought to know? I want to start with looking at the concept of, should you be taking a vitamin supplement? Well, if you've ever paid attention to the size of our fruits and vegetables, they've been getting larger. And what we're looking at, though, is it may be getting larger, but these non-organic vegetables, fruits, actually have fewer vitamins and minerals than they did about 50 years ago even. For example, take a look at iron. Take a look at protein, take a look at riboflavins, vitamin C. They've all dropped dramatically over the years as these fruits that have been grown for high growth and for transportation but not for nutritional values. As a matter of fact, in the Doctor's Guide to Natural Medicine, the author states that in 1984, you could buy spinach that had 158, and they measure iron in by the letters UG per 100 grams. By 1964, it had dropped to 27 UGs of iron, and by 1973, it was 2.2 UGs. This would mean you'd have to eat 75 bowls of spinach to get the same amount of iron that you can get from eating one bowl way back in 1948. So can vitamin supplements really help you? There was a study published in Psychology and Health that looked at 100 middle managers in British factories. The average age was 39, and they gave them a moderate dose vitamin mineral supplement. It also had ginseng in it, or they got a dummy pill for 8 weeks. The people taking the supplements felt more pep and less stress than the placebo group. And the persons taking the supplement who also had a poor diet really experienced tremendous changes. They wound up feeling calmer, less confused, less angry, and they were even in much better moods. So that's our breakthrough ahas for this week. I want to pause before we get into the interview and tell you a little bit about one of the books that I just recently released called Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. And this is a book that is designed to really show you all kinds of things that you can do to handle your stresses in these difficult times and do it immediately. Rather than me talk about it, I want to read a review that posted on Amazon by Grady Harp. He's an Amazon reviewer, and he wrote, Dr. Teplitz cuts to the chase. Knowing that there are numerous books on stress management, he steps right up to the problem, shares his knowledge that we all are living in lives of stress minimally controlled, and from the very beginning of this excellent book, he begins working with us. The pleasure of reading put into practice the suggestions in his book is not only a satisfying experience intellectually, but also a physically enabling one. If you'd like to get that book, you can go to Barnes & Noble's, Amazon, or you can go to my website at teplitz.com. So you've been in an auto accident, and you've got some whiplash. You just had your hip replaced, and you need to go as part of your treatment in both of those situations to physical therapy. And I think that's how most folks would view physical therapy. You do it when you've got something that went really wrong going on. But there's another way to look at physical therapy, and that's what my guest today is going to be talking about. My guest is Tracy Hernandez. She's both founder and owner of Innovative Therapy and Wellness in Virginia Beach, Virginia. She's got a Bachelor of Arts in Kinesiology. She's got a Master of Science in Biomechanic and Sports Medicine. She's got a Master in Physical Therapy. She's got a Postgraduate Doctorate in Physical Therapy and Certification in Myofascular Trigger Point Dry Needling. That was a lot of education, Tracy, huh? To welcome you to the show, Tracy.
Thank you.
And so, you've got some other viewpoints as to how, in effect, physical therapy and physical therapists can fit into our lives in a completely different way than what most folks have ever thought of before. When you got the accident and injury and hip replacement, that's when you go. And so how do you see physical therapy playing a role in wellness, Tracy?
Well, musculoskeletal conditions are currently the most common cause of disability in this country. So the best possible thing to do to keep your body in shape is to exercise. We all know that. There's lots of literature and research and data out there to suggest that. And to prevent injury and postpone some of these disorders, you need to exercise. Physical therapists are the perfect choice for teaching you how to exercise for several reasons. First of all, physical therapists are able to design a very individualized exercise program for you. And people may say, well, you know, I got a personal trainer. A personal trainer can design my exercise program. The reason a physical therapist is more appropriate for this is because they can determine your body type. They can figure in your past injuries and surgeries, look at structural issues, look at weakness and strength, and then take all of that into consideration and design the program that's appropriate for you. So most people seem to, when they're trying to stay healthy, they self-select to a exercise that is enjoyable to them or comfortable to them, but that's not necessarily what they need to be doing for their body type or to keep their body in perfect health. So the therapist can help you balance what you like to do and enjoy doing with what your body really needs. The other role of the therapist in maintaining health and wellness is that the therapist is able to perform regular maintenance checkups, just exactly like you would have a maintenance checkup on your car. It's important as we age to have checkups on our body because, as we know, despite trying to exercise regularly and trying to do everything correctly, we still get little injuries or blips in the body that tend to prevent us from keeping exercising. And when you go to a therapist for a maintenance checkup, they're able to assess the body, look at what's going on with your movement, look at what's going on with your muscles and your joints, and either change things or alter things that may need to be addressed, or just make alterations in your exercise program in order to keep you exercising.
When you say a periodic checkup, how often should that be? Once a year, twice a year?
Well, this looks different for everybody. It depends on your goals. There's people who may have chronic problems, let's say with a back or a neck or something like that. They may choose to come more often. They may need to come once a month just to stay where they want to be and being able to keep doing the recreational things they want to do in life. Whereas somebody that has been fit their whole life and has exercised their whole life and really hasn't had any injuries, they may come once a year. And we certainly have people at our clinic that come once every quarter or once every, you know, at 6 months. It just depends on what your goals are and also what you're dealing with body-wise.
Okay. So what do you think of the current thinking on health and exercise? Do you think it's appropriate, not appropriate, needs to be altered some?
I do think it needs to be altered some. I think that the main drive in exercise right now for most people is to improve their looks. I don't think that usually the main drive is to keep the body healthy. For some people it is, but not for the majority of the people. And when the people that are considering health, I think they think about cardiovascular health or weight loss, you know, as the purpose for exercise. I don't think many people at all are looking at exercise as a way to keep the musculoskeletal system healthy. And by musculoskeletal system, I mean the joints, the muscles, the ligaments, the tendons. The reason this is important, the musculoskeletal system, we all know, is that is what's going to allow you, the balance in the body is going to allow you to continue participating in the things you love throughout life, the recreational activities you love, just things you do around the house, whether that's gardening or woodworking or whatever you do, you have to have a good musculoskeletal system. And currently, people are going out there. There's all kinds of, as we know, a new exercise fad pops up every day. But the current exercise programs that are out there, in many of them, people, the goal is almost to work your body to exhaustion. People are using excessive amounts of weight. People force their bodies into extreme postures. None of these things are really good for the musculoskeletal system.
So what you're saying, the notion of exercise until it hurts is still prevalent out there.
Exactly. And you know, no pain, no gain, which is, you know, there's a difference and a distinction between pushing the body to make it work and perform better and really injuring the body. And I think a lot of what's out there currently is really actually injuring the body and causing injury and not really helping in people's long-term health goals.
And with coming to, say, somebody who's been a personal trainer and a physical therapist, so can you give like one exercise where you've seen people come in from a physical therapist and they've been told to do X and you look at it and say, oops, you need to do Y? Have you been able to distinguish that out from some of your clients?
Well, we have that happen often, actually. I think there is some very generalized exercises. Let's use the example of the back. There's some very general exercises that are given for the back. Those could be extension exercises, or those could be core stabilization exercises. We really believe that...
Tell the listeners what you mean by core stabilization first.
Okay, core stabilization would be to stabilize the muscles around your belly that hold the back together, basically. So that could be abdominal work or back, working your back muscles. These are very, core stabilization has been proven through the research to be excellent. It's excellent for back pain. People need to do it for many reasons. But what we believe here at Innovative Therapy is if you have a problem, if you have pain, the first thing that has to be done is it has to be diagnosed of where the problem is coming from. And the problem has to be addressed. And part of addressing that problem may include a certain type of exercise. But you cannot just randomly prescribe exercises that are good for the back to everyone, because they may not be. For example, we have a lot of people that come in that have back pain that have been given extension exercises that they should do back bending. And several of these people have had joint issues and degeneration, like a spondylolisthesis, which is where the bone is actually degenerated and sliding. And it's actually contraindicated for those type of injuries to do back extension exercises. But they've been, you know, they've been seen generally as like, you're a back patient. These exercises are good for people who have back pain. Do these exercises. I think that the exercise prescription for people has to be very specific to their body and what's going on with their body. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. Now, with your level of extensive training, would you be in a different position from a typical physical therapist, quote unquote? And I'm not sure how I'm defining typical physical therapist in terms of education, but I assume it's less than what you got.
I would say that's a little bit true. We try to have all our staff here is trained in advanced techniques, and many of them have advanced certifications in manual therapy, biomechanics, athletic training, dry needling, Feldenkrais. We try to make sure that our therapists are trained, you know, above what they come out of school with, so that they're able to really look at the patient in a different manner, look at the whole body, and try to examine where the problem is coming from, not just read a diagnosis off a prescription and then decide to give some exercises.
So somebody who is becoming a physical therapist, what would their degree say? It would, like a master's, or it's a...
The current degrees for most everybody coming out of school is a doctorate of physical therapy.
Okay. And would you then, if you're in terms of trying to find somebody who's a good physical therapist for you that has this level of more of a gestalt look at everything, would you then be asking what else have you gotten certified in?
Exactly. We don't just look at people from coming, what they've come out of school with. We want to have a list of things they're either certified in or extensive coursework they've done on different topics.
How would you say what you do at Innovative Therapy and Wellness would differ from a typical physical therapy clinic?
Well, we do a few things differently, and let me preface this by saying that most physical therapists, the current environment makes it very hard for them to do their job correctly because they're functioning in an environment where they just have a few minutes with the patient. We are a little different because we see the client for an hour. We have There's only physical therapists on staff, not aides or assistants. So the client sees the physical therapist for the entire hour, and they see the same therapist for all intents and purposes every time they come to an appointment. So because of that, our therapists are trained then to try to diagnose what the underlying musculoskeletal dysfunction is that's causing the patient's condition, not just treat the pain or the symptoms the patient came in with. So we do this by trying to look at the whole body and the movement patterns of the body. And secondly, which we already spoke about, that we make sure that our therapists have a lot of advanced training and certification so that they're able, not only do they have the time because they have that hour and they're seeing the same patient every time, but they also have the skills to look at the patient differently.
Great. Let me take a minute to remind listeners that you're listening to Healthy Alternatives on Web Talk Radio, and we'll be back with Tracy Hernandez in just a moment. I'd like to take a moment to talk to you about another book that I've done. It's called Switched On Selling, Balance Your Brain for Sales Success. It's a really holistic approach to selling. I have co-authored this with Dr. Tony Alessandra. He is a sales guru. He's written 20 books on sales training. And Brian Tracy, he's author of Psychology of Selling, calls this a fast-moving and entertaining book that will allow you to make more sales faster and easier than ever thought possible. And Jack Canfield, co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul book series, said anyone can be a top salesperson using the revolutionary brain gym exercises in Switched On Selling to rewire neural pathways. A new path towards success becomes immediately available to catapult you to superstar status. Friends of mine who are speakers have donated $400 in free gifts that you can actually get by ordering this book from Amazon. You'll go to, instead of going to Amazon, though, you want to go to book, B-O-O-K, dot switched on selling, S-W-I-T-C-H-E-D, onselling.com, and follow the instructions there for ordering, and then you'll be able to get your $400 in gifts. So I'd like to welcome you back to the interview I'm doing with Tracy Hernandez. Tracy is founder and owner of Innovative Therapy and Wellness in Virginia Beach, Virginia. She is a specialist in physical therapy, has Master's of Science degrees in biomechanical and sports medicine, a Master in Physical Therapy, graduate postdoc work in physical therapy, highly trained individual, and we're talking about how to look at physical therapy as part of actually a wellness program for you. In terms of that, Tracy, what kinds of wellness programs do you offer at Innovative Therapy and Wellness?
Well, we have a team of experts here, and the physical therapists themselves perform wellness checkups, as we talked about earlier in the show, and they also design individual exercise programs for people. We do sports-specific assessment. It's not limited to, but includes gymnasts, dancers, golfers, runners. We could do it for any sport, really. And we also do a videotape analysis for runners of their running technique. The personal trainers here are trained to evaluate your current exercise program for at home or at the gym, and they can make improvements, teach correct performance, and add variety if that's needed. And we also have massage therapists on staff that work in our wellness programs to help people achieve whatever their goals may be, and they can do that providing, there's a various types of massage that are available.
Can you share some stories of some of the improvements you've seen, like with athletes, for example, or pseudo-athletes from, you know, when they came to you, how they were performing, and how what you did with them really assisted them in being more successful and effective?
Okay. Yes, we've had, in the past year, we had a very avid marathon runner who has for several years, probably 7 or 8 years, struggled with hip and knee pain, and he has would say he's been seen everywhere. He's gone to specialty running clinics and specialty running doctors throughout the East Coast and maybe even a few on the West Coast. And we were actually able to treat him very successfully with dry needling, which he had not had in the past. And he is now pain-free and has been pain-free for about 8 months, I would say, and has run a few marathons since then with his best time ever. And I think that actually the key to his success or our success with him was that we were able to do a video analysis of his running and really determine where in the stride the problem was occurring, and then look at that through a physical therapy eye, look at the joints, look at the muscles, and determine why he was having the issue there. And address that, and we address that, like I said, with dry needling, and it's really seems to have paid off for him.
So tell us what dry needling is and means, because most listeners are probably familiar with acupuncture, but they probably haven't heard the term dry needling.
Okay, dry needling is very different from acupuncture. Dry needling is a form of addressing trigger points, and the only thing in common.
Tell us what a trigger point is, Tracy.
Okay. A trigger point is a taut band in a muscle that causes referred pain. And people get these for several different reasons, overstretching, overuse of the muscle, and injury, various reasons people have trigger points in their muscles. You probably all could reach up on the back of your neck and shoulder and press on a trigger point in your upper trap. Most people know that that's a spot that's very tender.
So if it hurts, it's probably a trigger point.
If it hurts and it refers pain, that's to another location, that's a trigger point.
Okay, good.
And dry needling is just the use, instead of using acupressure where you would press on that trigger point and try to release it, instead we take a small needle and take the needle and go into the trigger point and then gently come in and out of the trigger point to try to release the trigger point.
And so you're saying this is effective for doing what you're looking to do.
We found this to be very effective in a lot of different patients for different reasons.
Cool. Now, in terms of full disclosure, I have actually been going to Tracy for treatments. I started a number of years ago with upper back problems. My upper back would go out on me, and I would get it fixed by my chiropractor. Since I do professional speaking full-time, I would then go on the road, and somewhere on that trip, sitting in seats for long periods of time or lifting heavy boxes of books and products and suitcases, it would go out on me again. And so I come home, and I go to the chiropractor again. So that was kind of the pattern. And then I found out about Tracy, and I said, what the heck? Let me see what's going on. And do you recollect, Tracy, what you found, what you did, or do you want me to tell him?
You can tell. I'd love to hear what you
Okay. You want to hear it. Okay. So in going to her, what she found is one of my ribs had slipped out of place, and it was impinging upon the spinal column. And with some of the processes that Tracy's learned, she's learned how to be able to pretty much like turn that rib around a little bit and move it out and get it to hold in the scapula so it wouldn't slip out again. And it took a number of treatments to do that, but it got to the point where it was, I believe, about a year before I had to come back in because it had slipped out at that point. But that's the first time I'd ever gone for that length of time with, in effect, no upper back pain. And so if you want to talk more about what you did and how you did it, and go right ahead, Tracy.
Well, I used some muscle energy techniques and a little bit of joint mobilization, and I believe that was quite a while ago, but I believe we did some soft tissue work also in the intercostal muscles between the ribs and some stretching of the serratus and the lats to try to get everything moving correctly, because I believe what was occurring at that time was the lockup in your rib cage was actually causing the reoccurring thoracic spine vertebrae to go out. And that's why you kept having to get the thoracic spine manipulated. So by kind of unlocking the thoracic area in the rib cage, we were able to stabilize the thoracic spine a bit.
And one of the most fascinating things to me is the idea of being able to move ribs around and get them out of where they're kind of stuck. And so is that something you typically find with folks, Tracy, that they've got problems with rib cage being in the wrong place and impinging on things?
We do tend to find a lot of rib issues with people that have shoulder problems and actually sometimes the cervical issues too, but a lot, you know, it's interesting. I did part of my doctoral work on people with rotator cuff injuries being treated with just manipulation of the rib cage and the thoracic spine and no treatment to the shoulder. And it was amazing the results of treating the rib cage and having all of the shoulder pain resolve without ever touching the shoulder.
Really?
So
wow.
The ribs are often involved in upper quadrant problems, I would say.
So if you go to somebody who does physical therapy and you've got shoulder problems, then in terms of kind of analyzing their effectiveness, you would then expect them to at least take a look at the ribs to see how they're interplaying with the shoulders.
Oh, sure. We would expect, our expectation for our therapists is that if you come in with a shoulder problem, they're going to look at least your thoracic spine, your ribs, your cervical spine, and your shoulder, and probably your elbow and your wrist, and sometimes they would look at your low back too, but at least from the thoracic spine up, they would look at.
So you're really looking at a much broader picture than most people would think of looking at when I say I got pain in my shoulder here.
Yes, because what I found over the years was it's easy to treat the shoulder pain. It's easy, you know, there's a very laid out, plotted plan for anyone who has shoulder impingement that, you know, you could do a modality such as ultrasound or ice on the rotator cuff tendon, and you could do very similar exercises. Every therapist learns that in school. But and you can probably get the person's pain down or gone. But the problem is that problem's going to come back probably at some point in time. Because a lot of those shoulder problems are driven by what's happening in the thoracic spine and the rib cage and the patient's posture in the thoracic spine and the rib cage or joints that are locked up or other issues. So for us, our goal is, you know, not necessarily to get rid of people's pain. It is in the long run, but our goal is to find, okay, what caused that in the first place? Where did that come from? Because the pain in the shoulder is the last thing that has come on. It didn't start there. It started somewhere else.
Great. So you're really doing the real notion of holistic health, where you're looking at the totality to find out what the trigger point is that started the whole thing in the first place, or things Right. that started and triggered it. That's great. So if somebody wanted to find, since you're located in Virginia Beach, Virginia, not everybody in the country is going to come to you, is there a place they can go to find physical therapy resource folks or folks that they can get somewhat in the ballpark of what you do?
Absolutely. The first place I would refer people is, I'll give you the website in just a minute, but it's St. Augustine University, and they actually train physical therapists and occupational therapists, but they also do advanced training in manipulation and manual certification and things like that. And they, on their website, they have a listing of therapists all over the United States. So you can find a certified manual therapist. And their website is www.usa.edu/. And another place I can refer you to is Michigan State University has a School of Osteopathic Medicine, and the teachers there train a lot of physical therapists in osteopathic techniques. And so if you go to their website, you should find a link for some of the either osteopaths or physical therapists that have been trained in that manner. And that's www.com.msu.edu/.
Great. Tracy, I want to thank you for taking the time to be on Healthy Alternatives on Web Talk Radio. And I'm Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and our show next week will be looking at traditional Chinese medicine. We've got an expert coming on to look at how can we use that as an effective alternative and a treatment process and help us be healthier and happier. And so thank you for tuning in to Web Talk Radio. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. Talk to you next week.